is up? It is me, George G. Got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Sam Sosa. He is a senior property tax manager and consultant with Own Well, an organization helping you save money on property taxes. We had a great conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. And then we got into what property taxes are, how they are actually determined, what the opportunities are to protest the amounts and the percentages if we feel like they're too high, and how that process actually works, how to find success doing it, the major pitfalls, things to be aware of, things to watch out for, all that good stuff. And then, of course, we close with a great difference-making tip on how to empower yourself and get the information you need in order to make good decisions. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Sam, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Okay, so number one, I am of actual relation to the baseball player, Sammy Sosa. Number two, first concert I ever went to was Britney Spears. And number three, I participated but did not win my elementary spelling bee.
Okay. You participated in in your elementary spelling bee but did not win. Britney Spears was the first concert, and you are related to the great Sammy Sosa. Well, these are excellent. These are excellent. They're all certainly possible. I know very little about your spelling acumen, so you could have come a long way or stayed stuck exactly where you were. As I get older, I like Britney Spears more. Doesn't have anything to do with you.
Everything makes sense.
Right, yeah. So let's see. Okay, so the idea is that I guess. So I'm going to say that, yeah, Britney Spears was your first concert.
True, yeah.
So that is true. So I have to guess the lie, though. So I do not think you're related to Sammy Sosa.
That is correct. I get asked all the time, and I'm like, man, what can I really like say to, you know? But anyway, it was a long shot. But
no, these are awesome. I just completely guessed. So, do you like Britney Spears? Are you ashamed or really happy that she was your first concert?
Oh man, ashamed? Definitely not. I still remember. I mean, to this day, like I don't even remember how I ended up at that concert. I must have been a huge fan. I know my sister took me in, and I mean, you know, like all, you know, young boys who idolize, you know, a, you know, world famous pop star, went and got an Old Navy outfit, you know, fresh cargo shorts,
let's
everything.
Go.
I was ready. I was like, I was convinced she was going to see me all the way at the top and be like, Sam Sosa, come down here right now. Anyway, it didn't happen because I'm in property tax. But you know, who knows, maybe in another life.
Yeah. Yeah, life's a funny thing. Tell me about the spelling bee.
Yes, I actually don't even remember how I got there or like how they qualify, but I made it. And I only actually made it a couple rounds. I'm trying to remember the word that actually got me knocked out. I want to say it was like Sue, like S-I-O-U-X. Or it was something very basic, and it took me out, man. So no spelling bee champion for me.
Oh, well. I can remember having a real hard time with vacuum and probably canoe stuff, words like that. So Sue would have definitely gotten me.
Totally.
Well, Britney Spears was your first concert. My first concert was James Brown.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a great show.
Not because I grew up in a small town and we didn't get too many acts coming through. And he came through when I was like 15 or 16. And so I went with some friends. It was awesome for sure. So
dang, what a time.
What a time for sure, man. Well done. That was a good round. What is top of mind for you right now, Sam Sosa?
Well, I mean, as you know, I work in property tax, and you know, I manage a large team who's in charge of several hundred thousand appeals nationwide. And so, you know, right now we had a lot going on in Florida, in California, with recent appeal deadlines and just getting things away, squared away there. And then, you know, the Texas season isn't supposed to drag on this long, but it does. And so we're still, you know, we are very much, you know, full steam ahead, all hands on deck. So property taxes is always really top of mind for me. And I love to open up the conversation about it just to build awareness and hope that at the end of the day, folks can feel empowered to whether or not they engage an agent or, you know, DIY, that they just feel like they have the tools and resources to be able to do either which one. And so that's really what's top of mind for me right now.
Appreciate that. How old were you when you saw Britney Spears?
Man, I was in elementary. I must have been in, so I'm almost 32 now. So I must have been first or second grade, actually.
All right.
You know, it was before things went a little, you know, off the deep end there. But yeah, okay. I mean, it was a great show nonetheless.
So you're like 7 or 8 years old, 6, 7 or 8 years old. Did you know then that you wanted to work in property tax?
It's like a running joke in the industry, right? Like nobody wakes up and says, I want to be a property tax consultant. You kind of just like, it's this strange, misfit group of folks that kind of just stumbled into the industry and then ultimately ended up loving everything about it. I mean, like at the end of the day, man, like what you're doing is helping people save money. And that is like probably the most rewarding thing of all. And so like, especially here in Texas, property taxes is always a hot button issue. And it's one that's always talked about. And so I think luckily enough, the stars aligned and I think I found my calling. I'm still here, you know, a little over 10 years later, but yeah, I mean, nobody really wakes up and says, you know, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, you never know, but that certainly would have been my guess. Okay. And I appreciate everything you say. I appreciate everything you said. Certainly. Especially these days, you know, money's tight for everybody. And Definitely. When we can find $1,000, I'd certainly be interested in having $1,000 versus not. Property tax, I don't know that it's on the tip of everybody's tongue, but obviously in Florida, they're talking about repealing property tax just in general, getting rid of it. And I know that property taxes in California are that's like 1.25%. I don't know what it is in Texas, but that's as property values go up, these are giant numbers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, property taxes ad valorem, right? So it's taxed on in relation to the value, which it's always going to change. And so it's one of the most, it's just one of those things that should be on top of everybody's minds, but isn't necessarily always. It's easy to kind of overlook it. Obviously, property tax isn't the most fun thing to talk about or to read about, but it impacts essentially all aspects of our lives, right? You know, property tax revenues are, you know, fund school districts and police and EMS. And so like there's tons of ways that property taxes you know, affect the lives of everyday folks, even down to their checkbook. And so it's definitely a relevant subject. And, you know, this year was we had a legislative session in Texas where they, you know, passed some more property tax relief that's set to be voted on in November. And so it's always top of mind for us, obviously, because I'm in the industry. But yeah, I really hope that at the end of this, folks just take away kind of like a sense of urgency to go out there and whether it be to, you know, listen to this podcast or just read more up on it on what they can do to, you know, help save themselves a couple bucks. You know, that's the ultimate goal here.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So as long as real estate values are going up, the amount of property tax I pay is theoretically speaking going up. Is there a universal way that municipalities or whoever it is levying these taxes applies it? Or can they just single me out? How does that work?
I mean, property taxes are locally collected and distributed. And so ultimately, like, it is up to the local jurisdictions to, you know, set those rates. And whether they come up, go down, stay the same, it's really up to the local folks. And so it actually really is tough to say with certain confidence that if the values keep going up, that the taxes will go up. I know it's a, you know, something that we've talked about heavily here. You know, because what we see in Texas is you could have initiatives like compression, you know, where they send money to the schools to keep the tax rates down. So homeowners see relief there. So theoretically, you know, those tax bills aren't changing or they're going down. Whereas where there was no action from a local entity, they may see that tax portion go up. And so it's really tough to say whether they're going to go up or down. And obviously based on, you know, what the, you know, what the legislator is looking to do and things like that. So it really does change every year. I mean, it's always top of mind for us here, not only because we do it, but because it just impacts the lives of so many folks.
That's an interesting, it's such an obvious thing, but I think frequently overlooked. I certainly kind of lose sight of it and forget about it, that each one of these municipalities, if it's the state, the city, whatever, they have to balance their books. It's not the federal government that can print more money. So if they say, okay, well, people are really upset that they're paying this much property taxes, we still need money for the schools and the fire departments. So we need to make this work and we need to be proactive about it. But that doesn't mean people are necessarily. I'm just hoping that they are.
Yep. That's 1000% true. I mean, I really wish that folks could be more proactive. I mean, I know there's a large set of folks here, especially in Texas, that do protest even themselves every year. But, you know, it's easy to forget about. It's easy just to look at the notice and just kind of put it to the side and just say, you know what, okay, like, you know, money's going in escrow, it'll be paid, whatever. But, you know, it really does. Like, when you think about the time that tax bills come due, we'll call it for Texas, you know, that's like just after Christmas time, right? And it's like, what could you do if you got your value down and you can budget more money into your Christmas budget, right? To, you know, give some more gifts for the kiddos or things like that. And so, yeah, I mean, definitely a lot of ways to be proactive. I know OwnWell puts a lot of resources out there for folks who are, you know, on the fence. Do you want a DIY? Here's what you can expect. Do you want to protest with an agent? Here's what you can expect. Here's what you can see from competitors. And so, I mean, we're in the, you know, we're in the information era, right? And so there's tons of stuff out there for folks to read and just get educated on. And at the very least, I mean, like I can share my LinkedIn or whatever, you know, folks can reach out to me and I'd be happy to answer any questions they have. I'd like to be a resource at the very least for anybody that's interested.
And grateful for that. Understanding that these are handled at the local level, meaning that it's all the process might be similar, but it's also going to be unique based on what's going on in that local area. Is there sort of a basic formula that they say, okay, real estate in this area has gone up by 1% this year, therefore your property taxes are going to be X, whatever the property tax rate is, we're now going to apply that on your property, which is now 1% more valuable? Or how does that process work?
It's tough to say or like estimate what each entity's needs are going to be each and every year. But I can say that, you know, the county appraisal district is tasked with the job of valuing property as of the valuation date. In Texas, it's January. Actually, in most states or most territories, it is January 1. And so they'll look at the market date as of that date and then issue the value. They will open up the protest period to allow homeowners to, you know, state their grievances, state the facts that they think it's overvalued. Then once that period closes, the assessor or the appraisal district will essentially take that role and then hand it to the entities. And then the entities will then determine what their needs are. And so I don't really want to imply that the two may be related. And it's really difficult to say year over year what the needs are going to be. But it's especially interesting to pay attention to, you know, in years where there's legislative sessions or things like that, where they're proposing tax cuts. And then how does that affect local jurisdictions and their ability to collect?
So January 1st, this entity sets the value and then they send out a notice when the protest period opens. How long is the protest period?
Yeah, so it's going to vary by jurisdiction. And by jurisdiction, I mean state. We cover several states here at OwnWell. But I'll reference Texas just to keep it very, very simple. So notices will be released probably about early April. And then what the law says is you have 30 days from the date on the notice or May 15th, whichever is later. That is your period to protest or raise your concern. And then you file that with the local appraisal review board. And once you do that, it opens up your protest. You can go and talk informally with an appraiser and try and resolve the value that way. And then if you're unsuccessful, then it will be scheduled for a more formal hearing, which is known as the appraisal review board. It may be called the Board of Equalization in other states. And this is a more formal, quasi-judicial, you know, it feels more courtroom setting than your informal period. And so you may be talking to three appointed board members or, you know, three experts who are going to listen to the facts of the case and then determine the value. And then depending on which state you're in, you have the ability to escalate, meaning you can file arbitration, binding arbitration, or you can file litigation to pursue what's called like your post-administrative relief. And so there's definitely a lot of opportunities out there available to try and get a value reduction, if especially if you're willing to go that distance, right? Like if it comes down to litigation, does it make sense to file, so on and so forth? And it just comes down to the facts of the case. And obviously, each one of them have their own fees incorporated and things like that. So all things to consider when protesting. But generally speaking, most folks can resolve their protest either in the informal or the formal period.
Well, that is an interesting process. And from my research, it seems like on average, your clients can save around $1,000 or $1,100.
That's correct. Yeah.
And yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're successful over 85% of the time. And I think the true measure here is what our customers have to say about us. You know, you can Google any company and just look at their reviews, but you Google Own Well, and we have over 3,000 reviews, on average 4.7 stars. And so they really are the true North Star in determining the quality of service that they're receiving. And so I think that says a lot about it. Company. And I'm really glad and relieved to hear that our customers are really interested and committed in what we're doing as a company.
Yeah, well, 100%. The process that you laid out for going through this appeal, it makes sense, but it sounds like that takes up that, like if I were to do that on my own, there's just probably no way I'm going to do that because I'm not going to, it sounds like it takes a lot of time. So I understand why somebody would work with a company like yours. How do you make money?
Yeah, 100%. Sorry, it looks like it cut out there for a second, but it does take a lot of time. And when I was kind of thinking through everything that is important that I would mention, it's like not only is it time consuming, it can be tedious. The process can be Byzantine, right? It involves a lot of administrative legwork and things like that. And you know, obviously, like there's incentive on the county side to make the process as simplistic as possible, right? Because you don't want folks coming back with questions and a million phone calls, but not all counties adopt that philosophy, right? And so like for me, the way that I think about it is time is our most important asset, and we're not going to get that back. And so I don't ever assume that anyone can afford to take a day off. It's not just a day off, right? You're talking about the difference in a day and a paycheck. And so that's really like what the benefits of having companies like Own Well out there is. It's full service, end to end. You sign up, we ask you a couple of questions, you give us what you want to give us for the case, and then we'll take it from there. You sit back and essentially, you know, wait till the results happen. And you know, it's a very forward thinking, you know, company, and the notifications and your status updates are kept current. And so like you never really feel like you're in the dark about where you're at in the process.
Which is certainly a valuable thing. And, you know, it's interesting to hear that there are some counties that are interested in being a good partner and a good conversation partner. But I could also see some that just throw up a brick wall because they're not interested in collecting any less revenue than they're already collecting. So I'm sure that that cuts every single way.
Yeah.
So you, I think you mentioned that you were successful around 80% of the time getting some kind of a reduction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 86% to be precise.
Okay, excellent. which is really good. And is that just because is that simply why are you successful? Is it because people's property values are not going up as much as the county or the municipality thinks?
I think it's there's a couple factors at play here. That being one of them, which is a good place to start. And so essentially what counties are tasked with doing is assigning the value, right? But within each of their, you know, political boundaries. They have maybe hundreds of thousands of parcels in there that they have to assign value to. And so what they do is use this concept of mass appraisal, right? Which is good for speed and making those deadlines, but not necessarily good for capturing the property's quirks or the nuances and things like that, which is why it's, which kind of like underscores the importance of protesting, right? To just open the case up and see what data was used, what they are classifying your property as, et cetera. So essentially what mass appraisal does is it allows counties to efficiently set taxable values for thousands of properties each year. Obviously, there is limitations here, right? They use generalized data. It may not always reflect the unique characteristics or the condition of each individual property. And so thus, we get into the protest season and then open up that time for information giving and exchanges and things like that. So that way the records can be correct. And, you know, like markets are cyclical in nature. And so that's the other piece that plays into this, right? It's like values. Well, historically, over long periods of time, they will appear to go up. But, you know, there are booms and busts in the meantime. And so your value year over year may go up, it may go down, stay the same. And so it's really important just to keep a pulse on that and understand, like, whether or not it makes sense to protest, given the jurisdiction that you're in. The other thing that I'll say about, you know, the success rate and about what really sets Ownwell apart from others is that, you know, I mentioned we're a forward thinking company. We are a tech company first and a real estate company second. And so that's just a part of the industry that we saw that was, you know, really ripe for this disruption. I came from a previous competitor and a lot of the things that we were doing were, you know, very time consuming and manual labor. And there, you know, it kind of just begs the question, like, what can we do better here? What can we automate? What can we leverage this new tech to, like, help us be more efficient? And so that's essentially what we've done here. So we pair local experts with modern tech and AI to ensure that we're using the best data for your case. And doing so allows us to operate at the level of efficiency that's essential for delivering high quality results to hundreds of thousands of customers. And so, you know, again, I'll go back to the customer reviews. The results speak for themselves, but we wouldn't be able to service that many folks if we weren't running an efficient operation. And so it's just being mindful, embracing the changes to tech. And the very last piece that I'll mention here is that, you know, our local experts, we employ folks that are local to the jurisdictions that they serve. So if you're working in Houston, you live in Houston, Austin, et cetera. And I'm proud to say that our team has a combined experience of over 500 years, right? That's experience in appraisal. That's experience in working at the appraisal district and being a consultant. And so, and local realtors, of course. And so having that amount of experience combined with powerful tech really just sets the stage up for, you know, these high quality results that we're delivering.
That makes a ton of sense. In order to navigate that process that you laid out at the beginning, you need to have all your ducks in a row, so to speak.
Totally.
Just to close the loop on how y'all make money, it's my understanding that whatever you save in for the property tax year 2025, if I save $1,000, your fee is 25% of that, so $250. Is that correct?
If your estimated tax savings is $1,000, yeah, the 25% would apply to that, which would mean the fee of $250.
Got it. Okay, perfect. And what is the timeline for, I come to you, I say, hey, Sam, I just got my property tax notice. I want to appeal this. How much time do we need to have? How much time do you need to have to actually go through with it?
Customers can essentially sign up within minutes. And so I would say it's better to sign up than not, you know, and we don't really need a lot of time, but once you receive the notice, obviously the timer starts counting. And so best to just once you receive the notice or even if you're in the middle of the season or it's not in the season at all, like you can still sign up with Ownwell and we will make sure that come the next protest period that you're ready to go, you're squared away. And so rest assured, we'll get it filed for you with the proper authorization. And so really you could sign up at any time. But once you get that notice and start to ask yourself these questions of, you know, does it make sense for me to appeal? That's about the time that you would want to engage a representative like Ownwell to represent you on your behalf.
Now I'm remembering something else. For the majority of states, there's not a downside or a risk of appealing, but sometimes there is.
Yeah, that's correct. So I'll use Texas and Washington here as an example. And they're two really good examples, actually. So Texas, the burden of proof is on the appraisal district when they determine the value. And also as an extension of that, when you protest, the value can't be raised as the result of a protest. So Texas is like a very low to no risk market to protest in. And then when you make your way over to Washington, the burden of proof is actually on the protesting party. So the homeowner or the agent. So there's a naturally a higher level of scrutiny applied there. And we don't just, obviously we're going to review the case before we file to make sure that there are no negative implications that could result from filing. And so rest assured, we understand the nuances within these territories. And if it comes down to, you know, evaluating the property and then saying, hey, we actually don't recommend that you file this year because it's undervalued based on what we see, then we'll communicate that to the customer. But just being transparent like that and putting that due diligence up front, you know, I'm sure puts a lot of comfort and ease in folks to make sure that they're not at risk for a higher tax bill at the end of it.
Yeah, well, I think that that's great. And that might be a perfect microcosm for the difference between Washington State and Texas. But that's a story for another day, Sam. But what I know for sure is, sir, we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
The difference-making tip, I would just like to say that, you know, the property tax bills arguably are, you know, one of the most important things in your finances that can easily be overlooked. A home is for most folks the single largest investment that they would ever make, right? And so you want to feel empowered and confident to manage that investment responsibly, whether you do it yourself or whether you engage an agent to do it. The bottom line is there is tons of resources available out there. Even if you start at Ownwell or go off somewhere else and find the materials that you need to be successful, my job is to get folks out there and understand their rights and make them feel empowered and confident in the protest process. And at the very least, I'm happy to be a resource. I can share my LinkedIn with you, my information. And that's ultimately like what I'm looking to achieve here. But the bottom line is empowerment, is confidence, and you know, it plays into this theme of obviously saving folks money and, you know, planning for the future. So,
well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on, Sam. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they get involved with Ownwell?
Yeah, so you can go to ownwell.com, ownwell.com. The sign up process, you can be done within minutes. If you're not within a geography that we currently serve, it'll let you know. And then, you know, that's also a conversation for another day. But there is a variety of tools that are available on the Ownwell site to help folks feel empowered about, you know, managing their investment. In terms of how to reach me, you can find my information on the website under one of the experts, or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Sam Sosa, spelt just like the baseball player. Feel free to add me, connect with me. I'll share this podcast on my LinkedIn and you know, just really encourage folks to get out there and get active.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Sam your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to ownwell.com. And it's really easy to use the website. I was on there earlier today. So super intuitive. Plug your information in there. I really see no downside at all. And then connect with Sam on LinkedIn. And I will certainly list all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Sam.
George, thanks so much.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.